The Sabbath was over. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bring spices so that they might anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they go to the tomb. They say to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they look up, they see that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they enter the tomb, they see a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they are alarmed. But he says to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. So go. Tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they go out and flee from the tomb, for terror and amazement is seizing them. And they say nothing to anyone because they are stunned. What an ending to Mark's gospel account. Just ends that they're in silence and they're stunned. But it's my favorite ending. I love the Gospel of Mark, and I love how he ended this. Now, if you were following along in your Bibles, you'll note that I changed the translation because as you look at the original Greek, most translations, and I looked at 62, most translations put this whole story in the past tense. Now, Mark's gospel is 16 chapters. This is the last chapter. And it ends, as we ended here, with that stunned silence. A few centuries later, people who didn't like or understand the ending added extra parts to it, and they're in some ancient manuscripts. But this is the way Mark ended it, and I love it. Because Mark puts it in the present tense. Everything else up to the time of the death of Jesus had all been in the past tense. But now, at the resurrection, it comes into the present tense. Mark, the storyteller, wants us to know that we are now part of the story. The resurrection of Jesus, the risen Lord, is happening now. This is the best way that I can explain it, based on an experience I had in a movie theater at one point. Have you ever seen the film Mary Poppins? Anybody? Yeah, okay. That's been one of Joe's and I's favorite films throughout the years. We've watched it several times. Well, have you seen Mary Poppins Returns? When that came out, I was so excited to go and see Mary Poppins Returns. We went to the theater as soon as we could. And it's a long film. It's over 2 hours. And there's new music, and it's a new story. There's a different actress playing Mary Poppins. And as I'm watching it, you're comparing to the original one, which has always been our favorite. And it was good. Getting used to the new music, it was fine, but I was doing all this comparison, and I was catching the links to the original movie. Wasn't the best experience in the world, but as the show progressed, and this is an hour and 15 minutes into the film, there's a song, "Trip a Little Light Fantastic." Loved the music, And I saw that is what they're trying to do here is compare to that song in the original Chim Chim Cheree on the rooftops and these are the lamplighters. And that was not my favorite song in the original. And so I'm still in this kind of semi-critical mode. But I'm listening to the words of Triple Little Light Fantastic and about hope for the future and about all this going on. And all of a sudden, something happened to me. If you're familiar with the original film, there's a scene near the beginning where Mary Poppins and the two children and Bert are at a... Bert had made chalk drawings on the sidewalk, and they jump into the sidewalk, and they enter this fantasy world. And some of the our favorite scenes, the penguins dancing, that's in there. That's what happened to me in the movie theater. As they were singing Triple Little Light Fantastic, it was like I was jumping into the movie. It was like I jumped into the movie. I became part of it. In my mind, I was dancing with them and singing with them, and I was part of the film. And for the rest of that film, I became so engaged. I was there. I was in that film. I jumped into it. Now, I think that's exactly what Mark is doing at the end of his gospel. He has told the story of Jesus, and now he's announcing that Jesus is risen from the dead. He's not here in this tomb. He's raised. And everything's in the present tense. It's now. And Mark wants us to jump into the story. This is our life. This is happening to us. We jump into the story. Think of Mark's gospel account as a play in a theater. I would say that there's a prologue, two acts, and an epilogue. The prologue is very short in Mark's gospel account. He talks about John the Baptist preparing for the ministry of Jesus. And then Jesus is tempted in the wilderness. That's also his preparation for ministry. And then Jesus begins his ministry in the first chapter. And this is the beginning of Act 1. And Jesus announces, the kingdom of God is here. This is the great promise. The kingdom of God has come down here. And then all through this act is what happens is people are fighting against the kingdom of God. People are trying to destroy the kingdom of God. And as they try to destroy it, it ends up with the crucifixion of Jesus. The kingdom of God is here, but then Jesus is crucified. And we're still in Act 1, and Jesus is raised from the dead. What Mark is telling us is that promise happens. The kingdom of God is not destroyed. The one who brings the kingdom of God, Jesus, crucified, is risen from the dead. It is not destroyed. That's Act 1. And now we have an intermission. And it's interesting how Act 1 ends up. The women are terrified. Well, they're also amazed because they've heard that Jesus is risen. But they're terrified and they're amazed. There's a spiritual roller coaster going on. And they're afraid. And they're silent. Silent. They don't say a word. So now we have this intermission, and we wonder, what's going to happen next? What's Act 2 going to be? And this is what Mark is doing. Mark is telling us, we jump into the story. We are Act 2. Our lives, our daily lives, the way we live, we are in Act 2. And that young man in the white robe gave the promise. The risen Lord is going on ahead of you. Oh, you wonder where Galilee is? Galilee, in my mind, Mark is telling us, is our daily lives. Jesus is going on ahead of you. You want to know what's going to happen in Act 2? We are living Act 2. And Jesus is going on ahead of us. And Mark is telling us this, all this, you're terrified and amazed. That's life. Our life is made up of times of fear and times of amazement, sad times and great times. And the risen Lord, Mark is telling us, has gone ahead of you. So think of what lies in your future. You don't know. You don't know where the rest of Act 2 is going. You might have some suffering ahead. You might have some pain going to happen at some point. You might have some struggles in your life. Things aren't going to always be easy. And there's going to be great times, amazing times. But there's going to be death, death of loved ones. You're going to have to face your own death. Act 2 is not going to be easy, but Mark is telling us that Jesus goes ahead of you. Wherever you go, everywhere, the risen Lord is already there. He goes ahead of you. So when we leave this room today, we'll be going home or going to a restaurant. The risen Lord has already been there. He's already there. And our calling as disciples is to recognize the presence of Jesus in all these places, at home, at school, at your jobs, shopping, driving, wherever you are. We are called to recognize that the risen Lord is present with us. The risen Lord is everywhere. Easter is everywhere. And that's what we celebrate today. We have jumped into this story. It doesn't end with silence and terror. A lot has been made over the years by Bible scholars about the women being silent at the end of Mark's account. I think there's a very strong reason. Mark does this very strongly. They're silent because where they're going, Jesus is going to be, and the calling of disciples is to listen to Jesus. The women gave Jesus the silent treatment, not because they were angry, not even because they were afraid, but because their calling as disciples was to listen to Jesus. Mark has done this throughout his whole Act 1, through his whole story. He would tell a parable to the disciples. They didn't get it. So Mark tells us Jesus explains the parable to the disciples. Jesus goes ahead and he teaches us. He says, feed the multitudes, feed this 5,000. The disciples didn't know how to do it. They didn't know what they were doing. Jesus walks them through it, shows them how. The promise is the kingdom of God is here. Oh, the disciples are thinking, this is great. We're gonna have all the glory. We're going to get all the praise. And Jesus says, no. He teaches them. That's not what this is all about. This is about loving one another. This isn't about getting the glory. This is about sacrificial love, loving one another. And as we are in Act 2 and Jesus goes ahead of us, our calling as disciples is to always listen to Jesus. Listen to him. Listen to what he will teach us. He gives us the Holy Spirit to guide us and help us in our decisions, and how we're going to live, and what we're going to do, and how we're going to tend to feeding the multitudes and take care of those who are hurting and be compassionate and be loving. This is our calling as disciples, and Jesus is there and going to guide us and lead us and help us to do what we need to do. We're in Act 2. The risen Lord is here and everywhere we go. From this point on, from the point after Jesus' death, everywhere we go, Jesus is there. The risen Lord is everywhere. Easter is everywhere, all the time. Now, I said that the Gospel of Mark could be looked at as a prologue, Act 1 and Act 2, and then there's an epilogue. At the end of Act 1, the crucified Jesus was raised. Now in the epilogue, we who are living Act 2 The epilogue is that we too, because we're disciples, because we have followed Jesus, because we have walked with Jesus, that was our theme all throughout Lent, walking with the Lord. As we have walked with the Lord, now we come to the epilogue. Now we come to the end of our lives. And what is at the end of our lives? Our resurrection. Just as Jesus was raised from that empty tomb, we too live a new life. We too are raised from death. The epilogue of our story is our resurrection, our eternal life. We will live forever with God, with Christ, in eternity. That's the epilogue. That's what our story is leading to. And that's what Mark is doing for us, telling us that now, as we jump into the story of Jesus, we are raised to eternal life. Let us pray. Look to your future. It's unknown. You don't know what lies there. But surely there will be hard times. There will be pain. There will be suffering. There will be difficulties. Think of those times. And in silence, we listen to the voice of Jesus. In our future, Jesus will say, "I am here." Jesus says, "I will be here for you always." Oh, and think of the world. Look at the present world and look at what's happening in the future. The wars, the violence, the terrorism, the children living in fear for bombs coming at them. The fear and the possibility of children being separated from their parents because of evil and war. Jesus is there, saying, "I am here. I will be here for you always." We pray for those who would cause harm and evil and destruction and terror. And we pray that they would hear this voice of Jesus. "I am here in love for you and for all the world." Jesus is saying, "I am here." The risen Lord is saying, "I am everywhere for you in love. I am here